You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From Washington to Hollywood and right back to Wisconsin, it's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. Connecting the dots on the stories shaping our world with smart takes, sharp humor, and plenty of personality.
You know, I really expected more professional behavior from you.
It's news and culture without the noise.
Yeah, I'm on.
Here's Pete Schwabe
Dude.
And Greg Bach.
Dude.
Oh, yeah. Let's go, baby. This is Nightlight, as you just heard, with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. And we are here to serve you, folks. We are going to bring you a show tonight that is going to help you, wind into the weekend. I think, would you say that's accurate, Greg? We're going to have some fun tonight.
We are going to wind like the Dickens.
Watch your language.
We
have a big announcement to make, too. This is our first Friday show together.
Yeah, we were Schwabe-less last week. Schwabe-less.
Mm-hmm. I know. It's the highest ratings in the network history, which is a little disconcerting. But we have a big announcement to make tonight because this is our first.
Good night, folks. We are done. It's our last show.
don't get too high or too low. It's a very basic thing. This is our first Casual Friday.
Ooh.
It's Casual Friday with Pete and Greg.
we call that sounder, hey, get someone from the office to do it really quick.
Megan, I know you're on your lunch break, but you can just speak into my iPhone.
Yeah,
She's awesome. I love Megan.
That's great.
She got me balloons on my second year anniversary for the Nightlight 1.0. She's fantastic. I love Megan. And her voice sounds great.
I've never got balloons.
Well, you're down there in Radio Park, Greg. You're down in Racine. Megan is in Madison. And actually, it was when I was doing the show for Madison, she got me balloons. Very sweet. So
gotcha.
And she just introduced our first Casual Friday. So I don't know what this is going to look like. It's not like on the office or office space where they had Hawaiian shirt day. This is going to be it's casual. We're here to fun. It's Friday.
Yeah.
Right?
We're having a good time.
Let's do this. All right. We got a great show tonight, folks.
Yes.
Dom Lee working the board. How you doing tonight, Dom? You feeling good?
I'm feeling great. You know, I got some energy in me. It's Friday. Yeah. It's Casual Friday. It doesn't get much better than this. It doesn't.
Are you wearing like a pair of Dockers tonight on Casual Friday, or what are you rocking there?
I got my kind of polo suit on.
Okay.
I got some pants on, I think. And I got some nice.
Wait, go back. I have pants on, I think. Well,
you know, on Casual Friday?
It's casual,
all
right?
Well, that was the question I had for you all, is that, you know, if it's Casual Friday, I mean, I'm always wearing jeans anyways. So how do I do I show up in pajamas? And do you say pajamas or pajamas?
I say pajamas.
Pajamas.
Because when you shorten it, you say jammies. You don't say jammies.
I say, I say PJs. So I say PJs or pajamas. But yeah, I mean, I will certainly show up here next Friday in pajamas, and I will bring some lamps so we'll have like a nice cooler mood on the live stream. Let's make Casual Friday a real thing, and then we'll just get wasted on air.
Next Friday, I'm going to wear a jock strap and clogs. That's what I have planned, and it's not going to fit. It's an audio medium, so it's fine. And I'm sitting, so I don't think
Pete, we're on a live stream too. They can see you.
And
if you want to see that, you can always check us out in the live stream. We are currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that we still call Twitter. Pete, what do we have going on tonight for the show?
Well, I'll tell you what, we got a lot going on, and we're going to start things off at 5:35. Well, we're going to have a little Casual Friday fun first, but then after the news, which is about 20 minutes away, we've got, this is so exciting.
Oh,
Greg.
Gosh, yes.
Jason Scheff,
mm-hmm.
Lead singer of Chicago for over 30 years. He took over the band or as the lead singing duties and playing bass when Peter Cetera left. There might have been someone in there very briefly, but Jason owned the position and rocked the band for over 30 years. He wrote, I want to say their biggest hit ever, Look Away or Will You Still Love Me? But anyway, he is great. We've already talked to him, so we're going to play that. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And what's great about this is the first time we're doing this. So we have spoken with him. We have two segments with him tonight, and then What we will also have is a full interview available on the Civic Media website. So it's going to be a snippet of what we had with Jason when we did the interview, but then it's like a 40 to 45 minute interview. You'll be able to check out on Civic Media's website, civicmedia.us, and talk about the fact he's playing a show. He's got a show coming up in Marionette.
We've got We've got some new news on that too. I've been asked to introduce Jason at the Community Rec Center where he's going to play. So I am very excited about that and to meet him in person. So Greg, I know you were talking about, you know, a potential road trip. I don't know if that sweetens the pot for you, but I mean, your old pal Petey is going to be introducing him.
What day is that again? It's happening.
It's March 14th.
March 14th. I might be able to make that work.
Dude, you can do it with me. We'll go up there together and because we have already talked to him. But I'm really excited to meet him in person because he is such a cool guy. Folks, I'm telling you, don't miss this interview. He's a really good dude. We talk about one of the most iconic bands in the history of rock and roll, jazz, whatever genre they took over at the time. They're just this kind of this phenom in music. So we'll talk about all of that with Jason at 5:35. And then this is fun, too. In the second hour, we've got Gene Crichton here. What do you know about Gene Crichton, Greg?
I know. This is what I know. I know she works for, I want to get the name of the place correct, the Manfred Olson Planetarium. And it's more space talk.
More space talk. I love space talk.
Me too.
And Gene Crichton seems like she should have, that's a great name for someone who directs a planetarium. I don't know.
What if she got, married to someone named Beryl? She'd be Gene Crichton Beryl.
Well, you know what? We should ask her that. I think if she's, you think she has a Tinder account, we could try to match her
up
with somebody.
What are you doing right now?
Well, I'm just, I want her to be happy.
Is Gene, you available?
No, I'm not. Listen, I'm a happily married man, and I'm sure Gene's all set. She doesn't need our help, regardless of whatever she's got going on. But she is an expert and the director of the Manfred Olson Planetarium at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, which has some big news. So we'll talk to Gene about that.
Go Panthers. Yeah.
Did you go there?
I went there. I'm a graduate of UW-Milwaukee, class of 2008.
Wow, dude. That's fantastic.
Yeah. I went to college late in life. Later in life, I should say.
What is your degree in?
Political science and law studies with an emphasis in American politics.
Wow. Oh, wow. And how are you? Is this a struggle for you to get through Casual Friday? Because you must be burning at the, or bursting at the seams talking.
I mean, sometimes it's just
politics.
Sometimes it's nice not to talk about it. You know, when you think about it, read about it, talk about it all the time, you know, a few hours of not talking about it, it feels nice.
I hear you. That's fair enough. What is the weather like where you guys are? Dom, let's
mind
start with
your business.
Is that a personal question? When did that become a question?
It's cloudy. It's cloudy. It's about 45 degrees. It's a casual kind of Friday, so it's pretty nice.
Casual, cloudy.
Yeah.
The Radio Park weather balloon clocks in at a 58 and cloudy. Feels like 55, highs of 58, lows of 39. The AI weather report says cool and cloudy afternoon, but expect some rain later tonight.
Are you sure you didn't major in radio, dude?
It's a funny story. Pretty good. I applied after high school to get into radio school. And I got in at a school called the Brown School of Communications in Minnesota. And then they sent me this perspective sheet where it showed how much you'd be making coming out of radio school. I said, well, I will not be going to radio school anymore because $7 an hour does not feel good.
even in 2005, that's not right.
Oh, man. That was 97.
Okay.
Yeah.
I woke up this morning here and it looked like, I looked out the window and it looked like Sleepy Hollow. It was so foggy.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you guys. I love kind of gloomy weather once in a while. And that kind of fog, I don't know. It just makes me want to write or have coffee or do something. I don't know.
It makes me want to just bundle under a big blanket and do nothing. And with the weather, being like, what am I supposed to do? It's terrible outside.
Right.
I can't do anything right now.
Be expected to work on a day like this.
Yeah.
I got to pull a Ferris Bueller. All right. So I think without further ado, we should get to our Nightlight Casual Friday question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay. Question.
Question. Question.
Pregunta.
Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What is the lamest excuse for being late to work? Whether you've heard someone else say something or you've used one yourself, let us know. What is the lamest excuse for being late to work? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. Very easy to use. And you can take all your Civic Media shows and stations with you wherever you go. And if you're watching the radio on YouTube, Facebook, or X, Twitter, you can drop us a stream comment there, but let us know, be part of the show. And as always, folks, you can chime in on anything we're talking about or whatever's on your mind. Be part of the show.
Now that you expanded the parameters to the ones you've heard, I've got ones.
Yeah. Oh, you've heard.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Like opening up your phone and seeing someone and telling you why they can't make it. And you're like, you're supposed to be a functional adult. That's weird. Yeah. That's a weird reason. So right. We'll talk more about that though in the second hour, but please feel free to drop those in anytime you'd like.
Yeah, it'll be fun. And Dom, you'd be part of the fun too. You don't even have to text in. You just pop right in because you're on the microphone with us.
All right. Yeah. I'll do that. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. Membership has its privileges.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You think we should talk about maybe a couple topics here before we get our first guest?
Hey, you know what? Let's talk about a couple topics.
Two to three big things.
There we go.
The first big story.
This Sunday, 2 a.m. Spring. Forward. That's just my way of saying daylight savings times this Sunday. Don't complain about it. I don't want to hear about your whining. It's fine. We've done it before. We'll do it again. Get over it.
What do you think people are complaining about, Greg? That they lose an hour of sleep? Like, I don't know many people who complain about extra daylight. I certainly don't.
I don't lose an hour of sleep. It's the worst thing ever. I just don't like not getting my...
And then, okay, whatever. Go to bed an hour early. I don't care. Like, seriously, like, this is where I get real old, man. Like back in my day, but like, I don't care if you lose an hour of sleep, go to bed earlier. Also, people who have the reasons, like it messes with my clock system the entire week. I'm like, no.
What internal clock or like?
Yeah. They're like, I just don't sleep right for the first week. I'm like, yeah, you're getting used to it, but also, no, sorry. I don't,
I don't know. I get depressed when it's dark. I love daylight savings. In fact, I like that we spring forward because I go, at least it's going to be later. I don't care. I'll be crabby because I lost a little sleep, but it's going to be nice out. And I hate winter. And my whole family is just, they don't like that extra hour of darkness or getting dark at 4:30. So
yeah, it's depressing. If there was a happy medium where we picked a time where it could be like, all right, it will like right now where we're at, I would be okay with that, where the sun is going down, like finally around between 6:30 and 7 total darkness. I'm okay with that. But 4:30 darkness is crazy. It batters the soul. It just feels bad. It's like that portion, that month is designed to make you feel miserable. So when we get to this point, I'm like, bring it. I want that. I take the hour. I couldn't care less about it. Give me sunshine.
And what about the movement to keep daylight savings time? I would be in favor of that.
Absolutely. The Senate was in favor of that. And then the House came through and was like, ha, watch us mess this up.
Dom, quickly, how do you feel about daylight savings?
I don't mind it. Like Greg said, it's just not a huge deal for me. You know, I can deal with it. Obviously, it's not the best, but I can deal with it. It's whatever.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. All right, ladies and gentlemen. This is our first Casual Friday here at Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach, Dom working the board. We are coming back after a very short break, and we're going to talk about two more humongous Casual Friday topics. Come on back, folks. It's the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
That's Chicago 3.0? What is that song? I know I can't. Is that that's Satara, not
Will
Chef?
Will You Still Love Me?
That's Chef.
Oh, that's Will You Still Love
that's
Me.
That's Jason Chef, yeah. Yeah.
Boy, he does kind of sound like Satara sometimes.
Playing all those songs, you're going to eventually like take on a little bit. We talk about that too in the interview. I don't know if it'll be part of the interview you're going to hear tonight, but you can always go to civicmedia.us and hear the entire interview. We actually talk about the fact of, you know, Jason being a studio session guy and knowing how to blend into a project to make things work. So, but that's more coming up in a little bit.
Great stuff. We've got a couple more things on Casual Friday here on Nightlight with Peach Wabba and Greg Bach. Mm-hmm. Let's get to our second big thing.
The second big story.
All right. Well, Wendy's is
I feel
hiring.
Like fast food has really been in the news this week.
Yeah, we had the Big Arch burger the other day.
The Big Arch.
Yeah, and this is a taster of, I had it right in front of me here. Oh, Wendy's tasting, hiring a chief tasting officer.
Okay, so before you all get excited over this, I'm sorry, but this is a lie. They are not hiring to me, we talked about this before we went on the air. To me, a chief tasting officer would be someone in charge of making sure the menu items were properly made, properly seasoned, you know, like always going back saying, oh, this burger is good, but we could be doing something. That to me is what a chief tasting officer is. But what it really is, it's a person who can basically do content creation for them. That's that is the gist of everything. It says right here, it says the role offers a $100,000 salary for a selected independent contractor. So you don't work for Wendy's, you're on your own. To create promotional taste testing content and potentially star in advertising. That is, you are hiring someone to be on YouTube and on TikTok. That's all this job is. I would be a chief tasting officer in a heartbeat. I don't want this. This is chief whatever job. I don't like it.
It sounds so official too. I'm a chief tasting officer. What do you do? Oh, I record myself on Instagram taking a bite of or drinking a biggie. And, it's temporary. They say it's $100,000, but that's prorated. If they use you for 3 months, it's $25,000. Like, it's a little misleading. And you're right. It's just a content creation thing. It's like, we're eating food and posting it. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to say you don't like it. It's like that guy at the McDonald's thing we talked about the other day. Of course, it's a great product. Okay.
Of course you say, but takes a bite and goes, this is trash. Who did right. this? I just think, I think this is ridiculous. This is a bait and switch if I've ever seen. Like, I mean, they put it right out there. I guess it's not a bait and switch, but like when you say first of all, any officer position is a company position. It comes with benefits, a package, those things. They're hiring you as an independent contractor. You don't get your own office. You're going to be working from your basement. This is Wendy's. Do better. You're better than this. You got better fries than almost everybody, but this, my friends, I will not stand.
And I said Biggie. I think it's a fraud. Oh, the Biggie was the drink. That was their large drink.
Yeah.
I remember because it was embarrassing to order. Yeah. I want to address this text real quick. Brian from Southern Wisconsin in 608 says, my beef with daylight savings is it puts the sun back in my eyes for 3 weeks on the drive to work. Oh, man. Okay.
Sunglasses? Sunglasses.
You take? Yeah.
Sunglasses. The little flip flasher thing. Hey, Brian, I understand. I get it. I totally understand that. But also, I like sunlight.
Yeah, but the rest of us like sunlight. So come on. You put up for the team.
You put up a thing there from Tim on the live stream and says, I tried the Big Arch yesterday. It was horrible. Won't get it again. Tim, would you do me a favor and go a little deeper into that? What was it about that burger that you didn't like? Go ahead and put that back on the live stream because the presentation just seems odd. But like, let us know why you didn't like it. Was it the cooked product? Was it the size? Was it like the fact that, of course, it looks huge in the advertisement, but it's really a squished burger? I'd love to know more from you, Tim.
Sauce kind of looked gross, too.
Yeah.
All right. I think we have a couple more minutes here for our final big thing.
Casual
the
Friday, big thing number three.
Big story.
Yeah.
On Casual Friday. Smoking. All right. I thought of this the other day. This cracked me up. Greg, you and I have both spent a lot of time in comedy clubs. We remember the days where it was just, you'd look out at the audience and it was just a haze of smoke.
Yeah.
A friend of mine, Tim Plager, posted something on Facebook the other day that said he remembers going to the dentist and the dentist would smoke and then not glove up and go into the kid's mouth. Yeah, I was fishing around for his teeth while they smell like nicotine.
And that's what that my first question to that was like, was your friend a dentist patient back in like 1894? Because even 20, 30 years ago, that seems like it would be against the law.
Well, this was probably early 70s and everybody smoked. I mean, it was like,
did you smoke, Pete? Are you a former smoker?
No, but here's the thing.
Okay.
I've taken like a couple drags, I think they used to call it.
Yeah.
I have asthma though. I don't mess around with that stuff. So I told my wife recently, smoking is cool. There's no way around it. When I watch movies, I love when people smoke, except Ben Affleck because he looks like an idiot. However, I love watching people smoke in movies. And so I said, yeah, you know, I could start smoking now. I'm in my 50s. The health effects aren't going to get me till I have other health effects. This is the perfect time to start smoking, folks.
Okay, I'm not going to be down for, I'm not going to endorse smoking. I'm a former smoker, and I will say this: I would pay money to the American Lung Association to watch you try smoking. But you have to do it like every other 12 and 13 year old I grew up behind like a
convenience store. Why convenience do you pay store, me though instead of the yeah?
No. And I want to see you try, because I just want to see you hold the cigarette like a new smoker and then take a bit. Like that's every movie and TV show I've ever watched.
I would totally do that. I would do the military hold, then I would do the cool French artist hold. I want to smoke. I really wish I could.
I learned so many things from Nightlight. Wow. This is great.
All right, folks. It's Casual Friday. You are here on a perfect night. We are sending you into the weekend casually. And after news, sports, and weather, we're going to be back with Jason Scheff, the former lead singer of Chicago. Do not go anywhere. You're not going to want to miss this. It's Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach on Nightlight on the Civic Media Network. Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach. Folks, it's great to have you here on this Friday night. Our next guest is an incredibly talented and successful singer-songwriter, and he was the lead singer for the band Chicago for over 30 years. He is playing in Northeast Wisconsin next week in my hood right here in Marinette, and he is here to discuss all of this with us tonight on Nightlight. It is my pleasure to welcome Mr. Jason Scheff. Jason, how are you? Welcome.
I'm doing great. How are you? That's a very nice introduction. Thank you.
The least I could do. You got up early. You're in LA, right? So this is kind of early for you.
Yeah, it's I get up early these days, so I've been up for a while.
That's awesome. Well, you got Pete Schwabba here, Greg Bach. We are thrilled to have you on the show. Why don't we start with this show you're doing in Marinette? This is where I live now, and I've lived kind of all over, but I love it when we get big acts here in this little town of ours. What's the show going to be like? Is it going to be a mix of Chicago and your own tunes? How are you going to approach this?
You know, I haven't started adding my own solo stuff, although there's a couple songs. One song, which was the title track of Chicago 36, Now, I have a version, a new version that's not released yet, that I've got all my old buddies that made all the hit records that everybody's grown up with in the 70s and 80s. But I haven't added them yet. So what you're going to hear is you're going to basically hear the soundtrack of your lives through the 70s and the 80s. I remember joining Chicago in 1985, and the world-class problem that we always had, that's before the hits that I made with them. What's the set list going to be like? Because we can't play all the hits. So it's really great to be able to cherry pick the stuff that across the board, people want to hear. So it's going to be what it's always been, just taking you down memory lane. I've got an incredible band. And so you're going to hear, if you saw the group from 1985, end of 85, through 2016, you'll be hearing the voice that you saw in the concert. And so I get that a lot from people that come up to me and say, you know, I saw you in 91, I'll be 64 in April, and I'm starting to see the next generations. In fact, One of the bands that I have, along with what I'm doing, is with Jay DeMarcus of Rascal Flatts. And, you know, he is a great example of the next generation. He's 10 years younger than me and sent me a message in 2002 saying, you got to know that Chicago is what made me want to make music, and you'll hear your influence in our music. And wow. I've particularly followed your era of the career. So, so it's going to be a blast, and it's always great reconnecting with people that I've grown up with for the last 40 years.
When you're putting together a show like this, how do you reimagine these tunes? Like you said, it's a walk down memory lane, but I also think you want to put your own signature on it. How do you approach some of these songs that are so classic and say, let's do something a little bit different here. Let's try this. Or do you keep it, you know, the same thing, but you know, do you want to make it more exciting for yourself after playing these songs for so many decades?
Great question. And I don't really have an issue with making it interesting for me. People have always asked me, you know, what song would you say that you would never want to play again? And I'm telling them the truth that this body of work is so sophisticated and rich that I've never felt that way. You know, I've toured with some other bands that are big bands that I won't mention names, but I thought if I had to play that music every night, it would drive me crazy. But to be able to get into something that's just really, you know, always a challenge. It's funny you'd ask that question, because I've been thinking of maybe veering off a little bit here and there. Mm-hmm. Gino Vannelli has really reimagined his music over the years. And at first I was kind of put off by it because I'm such a huge fan. I wanted to hear the song sound like what I remember them as. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Sting did that with his solo interpretations of his songs. So I'm right on the verge of, you know, wanting to experiment a little bit. But as of now, I really keep the stuff sounding like what people want to hear it as. Mm-hmm. My twist is I have an incredible band. And so, you know, being performed on that level, I think, brings its own difference, you know.
Do you have favorite Chicago songs to sing during these concerts, Jason? I mean, I know you've got your own hits that you wrote when you joined the band, but like when you go back to Terry Kath and Peter Cetera, which of those songs that you didn't write are your favorites to perform?
I'd have to say Just You and Me, because that was the first album and the first singles that I was exposed to Chicago, again, being 64 years old. When those songs came out, I think it was 1973, so I would have been 11 years old. And I was just starting to get heavily into the radio. So I was too young to experience the early stuff as it happened. So Just You and Me, plus it's got a great solo section. And the sax player that I bring out with me most of the time, Patrick Lamb, again, you know, Gino Vannelli's guy, is such a great soloist. So we really open it up there. I love that. Will You Still Love Me, which was the first hit that I sang for the band. And 25 or 6 to 4. I mean, it's like, you know, that's an up-tempo song, and it's got a ton of energy. And I think people, you know, would say, man, that's got to be a challenge. I'm going to let you in on a little secret here. It's so easy. You know, the song plays and works itself because it's so great. And it's got a great tempo, so it actually sounds like it's a lot more difficult than it is. But that's just between you and me. Oh, this isn't going out publicly, no. Is it?
We will edit this whole portion out, put a little black strip over your eyes.
No, letting people know.
Or we'll put some music behind it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. I like letting people know.
You know, you bring up a very good point, and I got to really quick as a personal aside here. I was in a group for a very long time. It was an 8-person group with horns, auxiliary percussion, and people would always say, oh, are you like ska or are you this? I say, no, imagine Chicago. That's who we want to be every time we play, is we want to be Chicago, a rock band with horns. And something that's to be said about that is when you have a horn section, you're right. The music becomes more complicated. There are more parts. And something that has always impressed me about Chicago, regardless of the era, is that it never rested on the talent of all the players. You always engaged your abilities instead of, you know, you had hit songs, you had ballads, but you still played music that was interesting to listen to and interesting to play for yourselves because it kept your chops up.
Absolutely. And it's funny because there are certain people, I think, original fans that didn't really, you know, go into the next phase, which the 80s, the Warner Brother years, and I have kind of bashed it a little bit as being not as sophisticated, but sit down and play Hard Habit to Break, or even You're the Inspiration with all the key changes. Even Hard, Will You Still Love Me is not for children.
Yeah.
It's funny because that is a very sophisticated and difficult song to play properly. So it has its own complexity and sophistication. So what I've always enjoyed, and being of that generation that came up enjoying Chicago in the 70s, but loving the 80s as well. So I used to think I was born too late, mm-hmm. to tell you the truth. I always thought, man, I missed the good years of being young or being old enough to really participate in what was happening in the 70s. Right now, I got to tell you, I think that I was born at the perfect time because, again, I'm young enough to have been, it's funny because as classic rock is really retiring and fading, I'm the link. I am definitely a link, but when I look at this, and I'm not trying to, you know, inflate myself and be too self-important, but I realize that as this world keeps changing, that I am the guy who was with a group that Jimi Hendrix took out on the road with him, The Doors, Janis Joplin. So I am getting secondhand all of those stories. So, you know, and then all of a sudden having my own part of the legacy. And so now when I meet people like Jay DeMarcus, who's 10 years younger than me or 20 years younger, 30, they look at me as, you were there. You were with these guys. And so I'm in a very reflective time right now. I talk about this during my show too. So I don't talk too much during the show, but I love to tell the stories, and people tell me they love hearing them.
Let's talk about that. You grew up around music and you played with all these. I'm fascinated by the idea that you were like in your early 20s when you took over as the lead singer of this iconic band following two other popular singers. Were you intimidated? Walk us through that a little bit. What was that like joining this band at your age, even though you were, you know, really talented and certainly worthy?
Well, what I love to tell up and comers, and it's a lost art, is that get the reps in. My mother tricked me for my 21st birthday and bought me a vocal lesson with the great Seth Riggs, the guy here in town. The time he was teaching everybody from Barbra Streisand, Stevie Wonder, Michael Jackson, everybody. And the trick was that the lesson was expensive. He was $50 for a half hour. And back in 83, that was a fortune. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't blow it off. I had to go and take the lesson. And I thought I was going to be walking in and this guy was going to be thinking, great, here's another stage mother throwing their kid at me and I'll just get this over. And I literally walked in thinking, all right, I can't be so irresponsible to blow it off. It was expensive. And this dude lit me up. He saw something in me, and he basically showed me in the first lesson what it felt like to properly connect your voice, which is a whole, you know, that's basically what it's all about, going from, you know, down in a chest voice all the way to a high voice and not breaking and cracking, mm-hmm. right? And so to feel that in the first lesson. So the point is, I had zero expectations of, I just wanted to keep getting gigs. And as a mm-hmm. bass player, being able to sing background vocals, and I was always really good at hearing parts and pretty quick. But I never saw myself as being a front man or an artist. But getting the repetitions in, when all of a sudden my tape got into the right hands and I got a phone call from Warner Brothers saying, we think you're the new lead singer of Chicago. I thought,
wow,
there's no way this is going to work. So yeah. When you ask, you know, what was that like stepping into, I think a lot of what I was feeling was I wasn't putting, you know, pressure on myself and expectations, because I go, this is not going to work. Mm-hmm. It's not like sitting there going, I've got to make this happen. Or like I see a lot of people, a lot of kids putting the pressure on themselves. So I think it relaxed me. Plus, I knew they were really leaning into me. They were saying, we think you're the guy. And I'm going, well, wait till they find out I'm not. But I'll just keep going till I crash and burn. And something really weird happened on the way to the office. It felt comfortable. I had David Foster and Humberto Gatica on the other side of the glass. And again, I'm sitting there thinking, I probably won't even be able to get a sound out, let alone, you know, sing anything. But when the red light went on, it was the most comfortable, and I settled into it and drilled it and won David over. And that's completely transformed, literally on that day. I was thinking, this is going to be over before it starts, even like with the vocal lesson. So that's how it happened. And I didn't really have this pressure and expectation on myself, because I thought, it's not going to work. And that's the thing that I love to share with you know, up and comers and younger people, to say, there's whatever you believe, destiny and fate and, you know, God's plan, whatever it is that people, it's really true, because there's going to come a moment where you're going to be standing in the batter's box, and it's either going to be right or it's not going to be right.
Jason Scheff is our guest here tonight, folks. We are coming right back after this very short break with the former lead singer of Chicago. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach on the Civic Media Radio Network. Mr. Bach, if you please.
I was reading up about you, and one of the things I said that you do, and I'm not sure if you still do this, but you know, you do songwriting workshops, you do music lessons, and I imagine in those moments you are giving them advice on how to, I don't want to say break into the business or make it big, but, you know, as someone who has as much experience as you have, what are you passing along as well that maybe, you know, especially for younger artists who see the world as a social media landscape, I must get here, I must get on these things. Mm-hmm. From your point of view, what do you say to them that maybe is a little different as far as, like, as you said, get your reps in, be prepared for that moment. The thing that transcends all trends that works for an artist who wants to really make it in their craft.
You know, I haven't really done a lot of educational stuff on how to get into the business. Mm-hmm. Although when people ask me, they think that there's a magic bullet to say, oh, go talk to these people. What I tell them, which is what happened with all of us, and it's still really the procedure, get yourself a YouTube channel and start uploading constantly. There you're going to get your reps in. And mm-hmm. if you're great, you're not going to be hidden forever. If you're not, then you just come to terms with it's not for you. Yeah. You know, I think that's what people are kind of tentative and afraid about. But I tell, that's the most advice I ever give of how to get into the business. Is, you know, just get out there publicly. Look what happened to Arnell Panetta with Journey mm-hmm. YouTube videos. Yeah. And funny enough, he's told me that I inspired him. You know, when he met the band. They were like, Arnell, this is amazing what you've done. And he pointed to me and he says, he showed me it's possible. That was a great thing to hear. But that's getting exposure. Do you guys know who Victor Wooten is?
Yes. Oh my goodness, yes.
Right? Victor
so good.
Has a way of making the most complex stuff simple. Mm-hmm. You know, he's also a magician. You know, literally like magic tricks. And he, first of all, there's nothing remedial about what he's doing musically, but he breaks stuff down so that it's accessible. He literally has workshops where he'll pull somebody out of the audience who has never touched a bass in their lives. And he's got them playing bass within like 5 minutes. So he's got these devices. That's what I do with songwriting. I've got some things that I teach that are so simple that are very sophisticated. And I've done it out at Vic's camp. And he's stopped me and said, you guys, I want to just point out, do you hear the sophistication in the simplicity? And that's very Victor Wooten. So that's what and here's another thing that I find real interesting. And I'm sure you guys can relate to this. I love asking people who are successful in their fields, is that when something comes fairly natural to you, I've taken it for granted that it's special, you know, because I've never run off with, hey, I'm special, you know, but just the information and how I do things. I think everybody knows how to do this, but they don't. Mm-hmm. So it's called when you share it. And that's when I started teaching and teaching online, and people were like, just, it was revolutionary to them. And I went, this is fun to mm-hmm. be able to show them something that gets them up and running and get them create momentum quickly. So that's what I like to do, is I like to, like, I've got some songwriting stuff that I've done that really breaks down, you know, and I'm using a very Victor Wooten-ish tagline saying, you want to sound like you're a lot better than you are, you know, but it's true, you know, it's really true. So
Jason, tell us about a lot of lead singers that join iconic bands just kind of hold the place after the previous singer left. You have two or three of the band's biggest hits ever, and you were the third lead singer. How has Chicago, did they get lucky? Are you just, did you just step in and crush it? Obviously you did, but what was that like for you? That must have been kind of a relief in a sense, like, hey, I contributed these amazing top five hits.
Without question, starting with Will You Still Love Me, you know what was awesome is that, and I've watched people who have never been able to experience that, great singers, but have never been able to experience that. And I've seen the frustration in them. And I think that is so fortunate that that itch was scratched basically on day one for me. And really what it was, and this is where Bill Champlin and I really hit the ground running, is that I was starting to do a lot of recording. Yeah, some lead vocals, but I was really starting to do a lot of background vocal recording. Bobby Caldwell, David Lastly, who was one of James Taylor's, you know, main background singers during the heyday, Bill Champlin. I always had an ear to blend in. I was always, that's the team player in me. And I watched Bill Champlin demonstrating this too. Phenomenal lead singer, but as a background vocalist. That really, and when I look back on my career, that's one of the things that makes me the most proud, is to go in and drill it.
It's just spectacular. I mean, the reach of the band, the hits, the lead singers, the background players, it's a phenomenon, really. I don't know of any other band, really, that have been able to sustain being so relevant for so long with moving parts. It's spectacular, and it's exciting to talk to you today, Jason. You wrote some of their biggest hits ever. I hope you knock them dead in Marinette and blow the roof off the community rec center here. It's going to be an absolute blast. And we really, it's been great meeting you. And we really thank you for spending time with us.
Well, you too. And if you guys are around and you come, please come say hi. I'd love to meet you in person if you're able to come.
Well, listen, dude, I'm going to hit you up for comps like you would not believe.
Come on. I know somebody.
So do I. I hope they let me in. We'll see.
No, absolutely. Come and hang with me, you know.
Yeah, would love it.
I'll take
Thank
care
you,
of you,
sir, for your time and continued success.
Thanks, guys.
All right. That's Jason Scheff from the band Chicago, also a successful and popular touring artist right now. And Greg, that was fantastic what he said about being an artist. And how it took him that long, but that's the journey of artists, right? Like, you just, it's remarkable. So that was really fun. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. We are coming right back after the news for more Nightlight.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.